lock the doors. We're going to have forced fasting now. No. I'm hesitating. Yesterday when I said, apparently, because where he had me start teaching in that short, like 30 minutes yesterday, I was surprised myself at the level where it started, because normally, especially when I visit other churches, you don't get to teach at that level. You do have to monitor the crowd, and Dave taught me early on how to listen to the Holy Spirit on how to do that. So when I saw what he was, the level where he was starting, I was going, I said yesterday, well, apparently we're not going to be teaching a whole lot of milk this week. It's going to be meat. And at that time, I had not read the prophecy that was in the handout for the conference. And I got to read it this morning right before we come to the church. And the Lord said, now there's going to be milk and meat, but the emphasis is going to be on the meat. Now, we're coming into the last days. We're coming into the end times. As I look around the room here, most of you I know pretty well. Some of you I don't know as well as others. But if you've been following the messages, whether it be from the prayer center, there was one hand orchestrating the revival that we're all coming into. You'll hear the same message, be different words, the same message, whether it's through Bronx teachings, Jim's teachings, Pastor Dave, myself, and others. Why? Because we're serving the same Father, we're listening to the same Holy Spirit, and we're going to have the same message. When Jim, Sunday morning, delivered his message, and I already knew pretty well what was on my heart. I didn't know we were going to start that high, but I knew pretty before the week was out what was going to be said. I'm going, here we go again. I mean, it was like I'm listening to his message and I'm going, I know he and I did not talk. We didn't communicate ahead of time. But see, we did talk, but we both talked to the same teacher. And we listened to him talk back. So, I'm so sorry. This happens once in a while. What's going on? Incoming. Just a minute. Yes, sir. Okay. Shandolo bakasele beisto sandere brakumare. Oh, son de le frica bostare cantatorum osse le chis, chande de fristusala. Min de la licu morscindolo fracomaste, bracola, frostas manda. For the shackles of religion have chained my body to the ground. My body has struggled to rise. Religion has shackled again, false doctrine upon false doctrine. Doctrine primarily aimed at flesh, with good hearts and good intentions, yet chained nonetheless. These doctrines have come forth. But my spirit has now been released as teacher, and the chains that have shackled my body for centuries. Can you hear the sound? As they're snapped in two, can you hear the sound of the chains? And my body now is rising and stirring. I am raising my body to stand full stature once more, that Christ be lifted up where he can be seen by this entire world. And at least they have the opportunity to hear the truth and be saved. This is my will, says your Father. Praise God. Praise God. Again, I say, and I've heard Pastor Dave say this for years, God is not withholding revival. And it's not like there is an appointed time, like God set a time in history on a set day. Now, He knows when it's coming, but that's not because He said it. It's because He knows everything. He lives outside of time. So, He's not been withholding revival. He's not withholding it now. He is pouring as much through each and every one of us, not just the ministers, but every believer on earth. He is pouring as much of His anointing, power, blessing, healing, deliverance, everything that He can through each of us as much as He is able to do so. That's wonderful and that's scary. Because when I think of what He can do, and then what He's able to do through Gary, it makes me want to just run back to the prayer closet. Because we all know He can do much more than we're seeing Him do now. But let me tell you this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said, "You shall know the truth. I am giving you the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth." Now, with that in mind, we're going to start again pretty high today. We're going to start pretty high, so hang on. If you get offended, we'll pray for your healing. If you get confused, we'll pray that you be unconfused, okay? And if we step on toes, pray for healing for that. But let's start. All right. Hebrews 11:1 and Genesis 1. Most of my Christian life, Hebrews 11 was my favorite chapter in the Bible. If I could only have one, it would be Hebrews 11. Why? Because all of my heroes are there. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And I already knew that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I knew what faith was from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And I'd love journeying through the Old Testament, watching all of these heroes, my champions of the faith. You just choose one. They're all through there. Elijah, and how the axe head would float, and the miracles that would happen, and I just loved it. And see, to be honest with you, Sue and I have been at this a while. We've been at it for 32 years now. We started off primarily that things we were taught was our foundation was faith. And we've had successes. We've had failures, like Jim says. You know, I've prayed for people and they died. How many of you want me to pray for you right now? Yeah. But we've also prayed for people and they've had miraculous recoveries. We've seen all kinds of miracles. But yet we know if Jesus was there Himself, in the flesh, I'm talking Himself, we know that everyone get healed, see. So we're not satisfied with some. We're not going to be satisfied until He has His way. And when He runs the service, and when He can flow unhindered, they'll all get healed. Every single one and every single time without exception. That's the way. I've got a whole message on that. But that's another time. All right? And we could add our name in here to Hebrews 11. By faith, Gary. By faith, Sue. They gave me in 1990, I was given 6 months to live. They diagnosed me with melanoma cancer, the fastest spreading kind. They said, "We're going to do all we can for you, but young man, our advice, our counsel is that you get your affairs in order. We don't think you have 6 months." Thank God for a godly wife. I mean, we were stunned on the way home, didn't know what to say. And to be honest with you, we'd kind of been in a semi-backslidden condition for a while. We weren't back in the bars or anything, but we weren't on fire like we had been at one time. And she asked me the best question she could possibly have asked me. She said, "What can you believe?" Because theoretically, I have knowledge. I know that theoretically you can just believe it to be completely gone. But I also knew I wasn't walking there. So she asked me the right question. And I don't want to get off teaching on that. Those are all in these lessons that you've heard for many years. Can you tell I didn't die? That's the main thing. But by faith, Gary, by faith, Sue, she had to use her faith on more than one occasion. to that there was a blood mass that started forming in her female parts. That thank God her faith kept her alive until that was removed. And by faith, Gary and Sue believed for our daughters when all three of them went into rebellion at the same time. We could go on and on and on. By faith, the finances. By faith, the ministry. By faith, all of these things. You could just add our names in there. But it wasn't until the last year or two, sometime recently, that I started having the same epiphany that Pastor Jim was talking about. He says, it dawned on me one day, and here, let's go to Hebrews 11:39. After you go through all of these, and I mean, these are our heroes. These are our heroes. When you get to the end of it, verse 39, and all these who? Noah, Abraham, Moses, King David, Samson, Barak, all of, and women too. There's Sarah in there, who Sarah herself received strength by faith to conceive seed. It wasn't just Abraham's faith. And hallelujah! But then you get to the end of it, verse 39, and he says, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect? One day I was reading that, and this is the blessing of assimilation. And the blessing of praying in the Holy Ghost, your teacher will come to your aid. One day I was reading that, I was really trying to grasp what he was saying there, and I heard another verse talking about John the Baptist. Jesus said about John the Baptist, I heard it right in this connection. He said, there's been no prophet greater. No prophet greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. See, the Holy Ghost is a good teacher. I highly recommend him to you. And I highly recommend, yes sir, I see that vision again. I highly recommend to you again the foundational teachings of Pastor Dave Roberson. I see this wall again. Now, I'm not going to apologize for following the Holy Ghost. When he shows these things to me, that means I'm not supposed to ignore them. This is important for somebody here, probably more than one. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. In the exhortation that's already come this morning, we know in the end times, the deception that the enemy is going to send is going to be so strong that if possible, even the very elect are going to be deceived. Let's take a natural picture. You've got a wall of revelation here as your defense. This is the truth. You're on this side of it, and the devil is trying to attack you. He's trying to get through this revelation wall of that you have of understanding and knowledge on the inside of you. Listen, if there's big gaps in that wall, there's what I'm saying by that, revelation is like a stone wall, each layer built upon the layer that's supporting it. If you have missed some of those foundational teachings, they're in Bronk. I know they're in Bronk. You haven't missed any of them, the lessons that Dave has taught. They're in Jim Martin. They're in Sue. They're in Kathy. They're in Candy. They're in me. We've listened to them, and many of them many times. We have that wall. And I'm seeing it again, though some of you don't have it. And you don't know you don't have it. It's hard to know what you don't have. Now, this is not hard. Go to daveroberson.org. Start going down. There's a media tab. And then they have the weekly services, but then they have the teaching series. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the weekly services. I'm talking about those teaching series. And there's a slew of them. There's a bunch. And the ones like The Walk of the Spirit. How about Peace, the aggressive weapon of God. You better have that. You better have that in your wall of revelation. How about tongues for the believer? You need that. You need all of these. And he has series on the strategies of the devil. And I'm telling you, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit keeps bringing this vision back. This is not hard for you to check. Go to that website. Look at those. If you have not heard some of them, you don't have anything else to do until you've done that. I mean, I'm serious. And the Holy Ghost is serious. He's warning you. He's trying to save your life so you won't be part of the deceived elect. Okay? These foundations, there's 30 years, almost 40 now, 40 years of wisdom distilled for you, and you can afford it. They're free. You got that? So, okay. Peggy, come here a minute. You say, I don't know, that's all high tech and MP3 stuff, and can't you just, I need CDs. And come here, Peggy. This is Peggy Elliott, my good friend for many years. Now, she's just a youngster. Peggy, come here. I'll make sure the camera can see you straight on here now. How old are you, Peggy?
91.
Same as my mother, 91. Okay. Now, Peggy, you wait every month for us to send you the CDs, right? Because it's too high tech for you to use a computer.
Yeah.
No,
my computer.
Well, what she really does, do you go to the library and you use their computer?
I download onto a flash drive.
A what? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You're 91. You go to the computer and you download the MP3
yeah.
files onto one of these,
yeah.
a flash drive. And then you take that home.
And put it on the computer.
And put it on the computer.
I have a computer, but we are living in the boondocks, and it's, very slow service, and you can't do very many things on it, but you can listen to tapes.
And you can listen to these MP3s
yeah.
once you have them on there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Peggy is 91 years young. If she can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Oh, you're a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have no excuses. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Learn how to... And there is a teenager on your block that for $10 will teach you to do everything you need to know. That's probably a teen. My Lily Cakes is really close, 4 years old, to being able to do this. Cole could already do it. He's 8. Hallelujah. Well, getting back to Hebrews here now. I think did we make the point about the revelation wall? This is not hard to understand. Any of those series that you have not heard, hear them. Hear them this month. Okay. I feel a release. Okay. All right. Well, for years, Sue and I could write our names right in here, by faith, Gary, by faith, Sue. And then it started dawning on us like it did Jim. Well, wait a minute. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I heard the Lord say that. They heard the Holy Spirit. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he said, there's been no greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now, that includes everybody. I mean, John the Baptist is the last prophet of the Old Testament. He's the last one. That includes everybody prior. But the least. Why? Because the least in the kingdom has received the promise.
Hallelujah.
The promise of the new birth. Finally, to be able to be born again. Born into a new spirit. Species of human that did not exist before Jesus Christ was manifested in the earth. Now, to really understand this, let's take a macro look at God's plan. All right? Put a marker in Luke 3 as you go back to Genesis 1 again. We'll come back to Luke 3 here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Now, I've got some of these already printed out here in my Bible, so on this piece of paper to make it quicker for me. Again, I'm going to remind you from yesterday, when the Holy Spirit, when He repeats Himself in Scripture, I mean, all Scripture is breathed and inspired of God. I believe that this is absolutely the inerrant Word of God. Every verse in it is breathed by the Holy Spirit. Even though men wrote it down, it's still the very Word of God. When the Holy Spirit who inspired this, when He repeats Himself three times in two consecutive verses, now He's trying to get something across to us, and this is important. So Genesis 1, look at verses 26 and 27 again. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our" what? That word's important. God's original plan, "let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. And just in case we didn't get it, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Three times in two verses, God's trying to get it across to us. I made man in my image. Man was originally made in the image of God. What was God's plan? He says, I'm going to create these humans. I'm going to create people. Now, what kind of people do I want? I'm going to create people in my image. Isn't that what parents do? Parents create children in their own image. Dave said yesterday, how can your child have your nose in your wife's eyes? Well, it's because that child is the product of the parents. Originally, man was the product of the parent, and the parent is God. So we know God's plan was to have people on the earth, let's say it this way now, that had His nature, that were like Him, or they could fellowship and have communion. And we see that plan for a short while in Genesis, where God would come and walk and talk with man in the cool of the day. Is that not a picture of family? Is that not a picture of fellowship? And man felt absolutely not inferior, felt no condemnation, felt perfectly natural to walk side by side. You could say with his God. You could say with his Father. And it was perfectly normal and natural. Now, you don't need to turn there, but you can for later, because it's... But Hebrews 1:3 will tell you, when it says man was made in God's image, exactly what image is that? Well, Hebrews 1:3 talks about Jesus, says Jesus is the brightness of His glory. And He is the express image of His person. One time when I was meditating through assimilating again Genesis, and I'm just going through the verses again, and so many times I'd come to that place where it said, God took of the dust of the earth and He formed that body. And we know, even science will tell you, that our bodies are made out of the elements of the earth, And so I pictured in my mind, here's this lifeless form on the ground. The body is there. And I'd always known from a child, in Sunday school, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But see, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. And as you spend a lot of time allowing Him to pray those mysteries through you, one time as I was doing that, suddenly I saw this little movie on the inside. And we know God is one, yet God manifests Himself as three. As an engineer, I always say, now if you get to thinking about that too much, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear, What? But He is. He is one God in three persons. But this time as I was meditating it, I saw one of those little teaching visions on the inside of me. He's trying to get me to understand His original plan for man. And this time, instead of just being God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, I saw the pre-incarnate Christ. I saw the second member of the Godhead. How I knew it was Him, I don't know. I just knew it was Him. You know how dreams and visions are. And there's Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. And He's holding that lifeless body right here in His arms like this. And then, of course, the body is dead. He bent down like this. You remember when He breathed on His disciples? We'll get there maybe another day. It was Jesus. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. It was the Word made before He was made flesh. He was the one that breathed life into Adam. And I understood God's plan for man was for man to have the same nature as God the Son. From the very beginning. From the very beginning. This was God's plan. And you want to see a second witness? Did you stop at Luke 3? Let's go over to Luke. You can. I think we're through with Genesis now. Go over to Luke 3 for just a minute. And we're going to go right near the end of the... Well, we'll start off here in the, so you can see whose genealogy this is. Starting in verse 23, Luke 3:23 says, Jesus Himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed. Now, we know Joseph was not really His father. It's giving the lineage of Joseph here. As was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And here we go for verse after verse after verse. This genealogy doesn't go just back to Abraham, which was very common. This genealogy they have all the way back to Adam. So here we go. So-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. But notice verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the creation of God. Isn't that something? What was God creating in the beginning? A family. A family. He's never interested in starting a religion. That's why Abraham and God got along so well. Many of you have heard me tell this before. Years ago I saw this in Scripture. Abraham, as he was getting older, and he was a wealthy man. God had blessed him. He had great wealth. And when older men start, you know, they know they're coming to the end of their life, they start thinking about their heirs and who they're going to pass on their inheritance to. And he was really kind of downcast because at that moment he had no child, you know. And God says, Abraham, what's going on with you, basically? And Abraham says, you've given me no seed. And it appears that this Eliezer, a servant born in my house, he's going to wind up being my heir. He's been like a son to me. But what was Abraham sad about? What was he wanting? He wasn't wanting to start a religion. He had no desire at all about starting any religion. What he wanted was children of his own. He wanted a family. So God's looking at this and He says, now Abraham, you'd like to have children born of your own flesh? Abraham, I'd like to have children on earth born of my spirit. You and I should make a covenant together. And the end result of this covenant will result in the children that you're wanting. And then later on, through that same covenant, through the death, burial, and resurrection, that's going to provide the avenue for me to have what I want, which is sons, children, born of my spirit once more on planet earth. Neither one of them, God nor Abraham, was interested in starting any religion. What they were interested in was family, which is what God wanted from the beginning. Adam, who was the Son of God. Now, Adam was not deity. Adam was not deity. He was God's creation, all right. But he was more than just a creation. See, the angels are created full grown. They're created equipped with whatever it is they're called to do. They are created beings and God loves them. But they're different from Adam. Adam had something breathed into him from the inside of God. Even though he's created, you could say of him, he was born of God's Spirit. Because God breathed His own nature. And now I knew after that vision, it was more clear to me the very nature of the second person of the Godhead. The very nature of Christ Himself was the nature of Adam. Now that tells you a lot of things. Number one, the first Adam, he did not have to sin. He did not have to. He was not even deceived, the Bible tells you. That's why sin is not really laid to Eve's account. Even you notice that the serpent had the discussion. See, we're not going back and laying all those foundation stones. I can talk to you like adults, right? Okay? You notice the serpent didn't come and talk with Adam? He worked through Eve. And Eve, it plainly says, she got deceived. She did what she did, but she did it innocently. Yes, sir. She did it innocently. Adam? Okay. This is better with visual demonstration. Eve, come here just a minute, beautiful Eve. Now, I know the devil cannot fool my wife. We're just playing the role here to teach from Scripture. I need someone to evil and to play the devil. Bronk, come here just a minute. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. So here's the devil. Now, you know, we always think Adam wasn't in the picture. You know, we always think, because what's shown in Scripture is this discussion between Eve and the serpent. Look at this vile serpent. So he's talking to her, and at first she's doing good. You know, she's pointing to Scripture, you know, basically. She's going, no, we're not supposed to tell him, no, we're not supposed to be talking. But he just keeps on, he keeps offering this fruit. And, you know, he kept on until finally she was deceived. And she said, well, I'm going to try it. So reach up and pick an apple here, or take it from him or something. Okay? So she's got it. Now see, the thing of it is, we find out later that Adam was standing right there the whole time. He should have used the authority. God had given him dominion. He should have thrown that rascal out right at the very beginning. Why he didn't, we'll probably never know till we get to heaven. I just know that he didn't. But he is standing there. Now, what did God say? God said, the day that you eat the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. He's watching. She takes the apple. She eats of the apple. She didn't die. Now, how did Adam make that decision? How did he know she didn't die? He's basing his decision on what he can see, what he can observe with his physical senses. Now, God had already given him his word, but he's looking and he says, I've got to make a choice now. God said, if we ate of that, we'd die. But I'm looking, my senses tell me she's not dead. Now, we know she did die, right? See, you know, that when they, the day they took of it, spiritually. But he can't see that. What he can see, she didn't die. And he's not deceived. This is why sin is laid to his account. He says, I have to make a choice now. Either God's word is true, or what I observe with my five physical senses is true. And if that's true, then he told the truth. What am I going to do? God's Word? What I can see. God's Word? I choose to believe what I see with my senses. Give me a bite of that apple. And with full knowledge, he turned away from God's Word. And he chose to believe what his physical senses told him. Once I understood that, listen, lack of faith in God's Word was the way out of the garden, out of all of God's blessings. That's why faith in God's Word, in spite of everything you can see, is the only way back in.
Praise God.
Give them a hand. Did they do good or what? Now, the great question that comes up now, well, couldn't God just forgive Adam? I mean, Adam was obviously sorry. After that happened, he felt great condemnation. He could tell something changed, you know. He went and hid from God. He's hiding in the bushes, you know, and then here comes God. Like, Adam, where art thou? Like, God doesn't know. But he's relating, you know. Adam eventually has to come out. And here's another teaching vision. You've heard me say these things, but what's happening now? these individual stones of revelations. I could take you back in my computer year by year when each one of these little revelations came. He's been building this wall of revelation in me now for years. And you've got to have certain understandings before others can come. What's happening now, we're coming into the end times. He's going to bring us into an understanding, and I mean a big part of it, even this week. That prophecy is absolutely true in the front of that pamphlet. You're not going to be the same person going back that you were when you came. Okay? But now, I'm going to continue. I've got to follow him now, the way he's putting it together. So when Adam steps out from behind that bush, you know, the big question is, I mean, he's obviously sorry. So the question is, couldn't God just forgive him? He did. Don't you remember? It says God took a skin. The first death recorded in the Bible, other than their spiritual death, the first physical death in the Bible, it says God clothed them with an animal skin. Something had to die. Did you understand that the entire human race was in the loins of Adam? When God covered them with... And the blood, which is a type of the lamb that would come, God's mercy, even at that moment, was, yes, I will provide forgiveness. Yes, the lamb will die for all of mankind. Now, see, you can get off there and you start getting into universalism. Well, see, there everybody's saved. No, they're not. Everybody's lost is the truth. The Titanic is going down and the earth is the Titanic. And the only ones that survived were the ones in the lifeboat. Jesus is the lifeboat. You better be in the lifeboat. This whole planet's going down. It's going to perish. You better be in the lifeboat. But I digress, as my wife said yesterday. God did provide forgiveness. That's not the real problem. And I saw it in vision form one day. I was meditating again. And when Adam stepped out from behind that bush, see, when he sinned, his nature changed. He was no longer made in the image of God, that his nature... And I know it wasn't physically like this, but the Holy Spirit showed it to me in this form to show me the depth of the fall. When he stepped up from behind that bush in this vision form, he was twisted and deformed, and his head was like oblong, and tentacles were coming out of his forehead. And he had three eyes and his skin was green, slobber, you know, like this. Kind of like me when I get out of bed in the morning. But Starbucks. Where is it? Oh, hallelujah. But can you, in his spirit, he was no longer God's son. He'd been twisted into some kind of perverted, sinful creature. And if you'll allow me, he's coming out from behind that bush. He's going, can't you just forgive me? And from God's perspective, he forgave that twisted creature when he put that animal skin on there, being a type of the lamb who would come one day. But God's going, I am providing forgiveness. But son, we've got a lot bigger problem than just forgiveness. I don't want to forgive you and leave you the way that you are. I want you back in the image that I originally created you. I want you back into the image of my son. And he hasn't given up on that plan. Now, all through the Old Testament, if you'll allow me, I hope you can handle this. And I love King David. I love Moses. These are my heroes. Don't you? I love those guys. But for all practical purposes, every one of those faith exploits was done by creatures like this in their nature. And we're wondering why there's not revival. Because religion, how many of you have ever heard they tell New Testament believers, you're just an old sinner. What they're really telling, saved by grace, what they're really telling you is, you're still that that twisted, depraved, fallen thing just got the animal skin on now. You're just forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That's Old Testament theology. And God loved them so much, even in that state. He provided miracles. He provided His Word. He made covenant with them. Because God so loved the world it's talking about there are those creatures. He's loved them anyway. I have my little lily cakes. 4 years old. You think I won't lay down my life for her in a minute? A little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. She's quickly going to become completely born again. But I've watched that nature in her. It's born in us, you know. It's just born in us. I was driving her and a little girlfriend of hers to kindergarten one day, and they're in the back seat, and they're talking about something. This was over a year ago. And I heard a little, whatever it was they was talking about, Lily goes, "It's mine, I keep it." Now that's World War III, 30 years later, okay? I mean, there's that nature right from the beginning. It's mine, I keep it, and you try and take it, uh-oh, you know? The other day she stole something. She did it on purpose. We didn't know it at first, you know? Finally, her daddy got it out of her. She says, "Where did you put it? Now, I know you took. Where did you put it?" "It's in my refrigerator." She has a little toy refrigerator. Now, see, she's still got that nature right now. Do you think I don't love her? You think I wouldn't lay down my life for her? Are you kidding? God loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God so loved the world in that condition that He gave His only begotten Son that we would not perish but have everlasting life. But He's not wanting to just forgive us. And see, the truth of it is, we're just now discovering, our faith isn't even the same species. It's not even the same kind of faith that those people had. None of them received the promise. We have received the promise. We've not only been covered by the blood, we've not only been forgiven. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, He went in, put to death that depraved sin nature on the inside of you and quickened you to new life. And for all practical purposes, the second member of the Godhead, you're Adam. He lifted you up, you dead creature, and He breathed His own nature into you again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're not the same old creature. You're a new creature. Once more, born in the image of God. We should walk like princes in the earth. We should understand who we are. Religion keeps telling you you're just an old slime. You're just a dog, just barely make it into heaven. And the truth of it is, you're God's child. You're God's hope in the earth. He's been waiting for you for thousands of years. And those are the ones He's wanting to bring revival to. Real revival. Back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Oh, it's wonderful to be able to preach this. Hebrews 12 now. That's why I made that same jump, and it's just been recently in the last couple of years. Just like Jim was talking about Sunday. All of a sudden, and you understand why. It says here in Hebrews 12, look at verse 2 especially. Looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, author means nobody had it before Him. An author, authors. That's deep. When an author authors, it didn't exist before the author authored it. Whoa, hang on. Nobody had it before Jesus except Adam. Adam didn't have it very long. Nobody in all those centuries, all the heroes, nobody in all those centuries had the nature really through which God could do what He did through Jesus. No man ever spake like this man. Remember when they said that? The miracles that He does. The things that He does. And because religion has chained us Because religion has put us in the camp of the Old Testament, if you'll allow me. They've got us, even, God, and I'm telling you right now, even having some knowledge of this is not the same as walking in this. We've gotten some knowledge. We're tasting now. We're sensing that there's more. See, nobody could. I am the son in the natural of O.R. Carpenter. I'm the only son. I am heir of all that my father had. Nobody can convince me otherwise. You could put my feet in the stocks and break them. You can do whatever. You could torture me. You're not going to get me to believe that I'm not who I am. What God's after now is with this. You have to have, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what's happening now. Can you tell your faith is rising? Knowledge. You can't really believe beyond the knowledge of God's Word. How do you know there is a Jesus? How did you know to get saved in the first place? Somebody had to preach God's Word. Everything we're teaching is out of God's Word right now. You're starting to have knowledge of it. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. But what He's after is not just, oh, I kind of know that. Yeah, I heard that. I went to the... No. He wants it to become as real. I am God's child. In the same way that I am O.R. Carpenter's son. He wants us to... Where it becomes bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, spirit of our spirit, really, but where it becomes as real to us, nothing, no circumstance, no assault of the enemy, no newspaper reports, nothing can move you away from who you really are. That Jesus did this all the time. You don't ever see Him wavering in His conviction of who He was. He'd say, I and my Father are one. He'd say, you're from the earth. I'm from above. You know, you can say the same thing. You can say exactly the same thing. That's why on my... So whoever it was that got me this folder, Sue said it wasn't her. Whoever it was got me this folder, God bless you. I wish if I knew where you got it, I'd get everybody here one of them. This little folder says, I am an alien. I am not of this world. Nor do I call it home. I like that. My desires are not for earthly things that will fade and corrode or burn. I set my heart and mind on things above. My faith and hope are in God alone, and I eagerly await His return for me. I am a citizen of heaven. No truer words were ever spoken. That is exactly who we are. And I've teased for years saying we ought to lock the doors and draw the drapes down because meetings like this are for aliens only. And exactly who you are. You are an alien. You're not even of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Now, I want to make you aware of a new resource that we have at the website. What I've done, I'm only about 30 years late on this project. I've gone through the New Testament, and I have found every scripture that says, in Him, in Christ, in whom, by Him, all of those different things. And I put them all together from the King James Version in a document you can download from the website. You go to garycarpenter.org, click on the Media tab, then you click on the Printed Materials tab, and you'll see a document there in PDF format you can print or download. And it's called the In Him Scriptures. Then there's another document right next to it called the In Him Confessions. And what I did, I left the scriptures on the page where you can see it. But I took these scriptures and I meditated on them and I did my best to write them down as a present tense, now confession about who I really am. The trouble is, we are not who we think we are. We are who God says we are. Isn't that what faith is? See, my whole life, my whole Christian life, I've kind of taken some pride. I'm a faith man. And I have.
I am a faith man. And we've had great results. We've had healings and all kinds of wonderful results from that level of faith that I've been walking in. But I'm telling you now, what we're starting to see now, when I start trying to incorporate what he says I am, I can see already this is going to take more faith than any faith project I've ever done in my life. You know why? It's going to be hard for you too. You know why? We are so intimately acquainted with our failures. We're so intimately acquainted hour by hour. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. That was a bad thought. I shouldn't have had that thought. And I sure shouldn't have yelled at Sue, you know, which I don't do that anyway, but hallelujah. Help me, baby. I don't. Used to. No. We are so intimately acquainted with our failures. And we have that evidence presented to us 24/7, even in our dreams. Anyone ever have any dreams of past failures? See, I know God has, He says He has, my sins He remembers no more. But apparently the devil kept a scrapbook, a photo album. I mean, in my dreams sometimes I'll have a vivid dream of some sin or something I did 25, 35 years ago and wake up feeling so condemned over something that the blood washed away 32 years ago. But see, the devil is just as intent on keeping you chained to the ground with false doctrine. He cannot at all costs let us walk into this revival. He has to keep us chained to the ground if he can. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple of these. Just go to, let's see. Let's do this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, this is a real common one. By the way, there's about 130 some out of these. It's not a little bit. We're going to talk more about this as the week goes on. I just want to let you know it's there so you can download it and print it if you have that available, or maybe you can do it when you get home. We have got to renew our mind to this. We have got to become, this has got to become who we are. This has been one of my favorite scriptures for years. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I see it's in Christ, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, let me ask you right now, how many of you are born again? Let me see your hands. If you don't raise your hand, I'm having an altar call right now. Okay. You're in Christ, right? If any man be in Christ, he is the same old creature, just forgiven. No? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That word creature there, the best translation would be species. When you died, the day you received Christ, you faced the second death. You faced death right there. And your old man was judged in him and found guilty and paid the price in Christ. You died that day. And God quickened you to new life. He put a different spirit. What spirit? The nature of His Son again, just like was breathed into Adam in the first place. The second Adam, the second man, the last Adam, the day you were born again, He breathed that same nature into you again. None diminished. You are a new creature. You're a new species. No wonder all things are made new. You didn't exist before that moment. You did not exist. The old you died. I'm so glad Gary Carpenter is dead. That guy needed killing. There's no saving that guy. He had to die. Now he keeps trying to climb back out of the grave, and I go, no. No. Every now and then he'll make a brief resurrection. No. But you're a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. Listen, Jim was exactly right Sunday morning. I could not believe what I was hearing, the message come out of his mouth. Listen, that is exactly where God is taking us now. The faith that we're to function by. You can't even look at Moses. You can learn a little bit. And I'm not saying, we can learn from David and all of that. They are not our pattern. We only have one pattern. That's looking unto Jesus. Now religion. Religion. Boy, they'll slap you down quick. You know, like that Jim said, if I preach this in most churches, I get run out of town before the service is even over. But we're going to look at more of these scriptures all this week. Listen, scriptures like this. As He is, so are we in this world. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Listen, I think we're finally coupling this understanding up with the love walk that the Lord has taken Pastor Dave. I think these two things combined, I believe the revival is shortly, quickly on the horizon. Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. You can afford this, by the way. It's free. Yeah. Duplication is encouraged. He's just saving me postage. Glory to God. Pastor Jim, if you'd like.